Good morning. Some years ago when I was a pastor, the president of the North American Division wandered into my church one day, which was not terribly unusual. His daughter was the principal at the academy where my church was located. And he looked in and saw the communion table set up and said, "Communion today?" He goes, "You have no idea how happy I am about that, because we're always somewhere, but I'm preaching, and it's never communion when I'm there." And I get what he means now. We get around the state a lot, around a couple of states now, and it's not very often that we land on the church on the communion Sabbath. And so when I came in and saw the table this morning, it made me feel good. Communion's a happy time for me. It brings back fond memories of the church that I grew up in and the feeling of closeness that was associated with that. This is the most intimate thing that we do together as a church, and we should approach this table with joy. And when I look back at the original communion service as it's defined in the Bible, there's quite a cast of characters that gathered around that table. Somebody there always that we can identify with. And I want to draw your attention to one that we don't pay too much attention to: Philip. You ever do something really stupid? It's a dumb question, isn't it? Maybe even asking that question is something really stupid, because we've all been there. Afterwards, and sometimes it's out of ignorance, but not always. We just didn't put two and two together before we leaped to five, did we? And that happens to all of us, and so it makes it easier for me to identify with Philip because, oh, how would I describe him? If we believed in saints the way the Catholic Church did, we would call him the patron saint of dumb guys. Because, there's not much in the Bible about Philip. There's really only four defining moments. In each one of them, we find Philip slow to understand, slow to grasp what's going on. If you told a joke, he would be the last one in the room to go, "Oh, now I get it." But he was there, in the room with Jesus, gathered around that table. And it was a long journey for him to get there. The first time we ever run across Philip, he was a disciple of John the Baptist before he was a follower of Jesus. He was standing there on the shores of the river when he saw Jesus baptized and heard John's proclamation. And the first thing he did was run off to find his best friend, Nathanael. He and Nathanael often got together in a little grove where there was a juniper tree that they would sit under and pray, because they were fervently looking for the Messiah. That's what their lives had come down to. They knew it had to be soon, and all they wanted was to see the one the Lord had sent. So he knew where Nathanael would be, and as he approached that little spot, I imagine that Nathanael heard him coming and maybe even recognized, those are Philip's footsteps. And so he turned to him expectantly, and there he is with a big smile on his face. He said, "We found him. It's the one that Moses and the prophets have been talking about." Well, that gets Nathanael all excited, and he's anxiously waiting. Who is it going to be? And you would expect Philip to say, his name is Jesus. He's the Son of God. And he's come into the world to save us. Instead, what he says is, he's Jesus, and he's from, Nazareth, and the son of Joseph. You can almost hear the air going out of the balloon as his excitement leaks away. And Nathanael says, "I don't get it. How can anything good come out of Nazareth?" What's Philip tell him? "Come and see." Best answer he's got. We next run into Philip on a hillside in Galilee. All day long, Jesus has been preaching, and the people can't leave, because when the word of God is spoken so clearly and so differently than they've heard it before, they're glued to his every word. But it's getting late. And Jesus hasn't given up preaching until it's too late for everybody to go out and get a meal. But when he knows it's time to close it off here and realizes I can't send them home hungry, he turns around to Philip and says, where are we going to buy bread? Now, why would he pick on Philip for that question? You want an answer? You go to Peter. Peter's always got an answer. Might not be the right answer, but he always had an answer. Or you would think Judas, because Judas is the one with the money. That's who you go to talk about buying things. Instead, he looks at Philip and says, well, Philip, where are we going to go to buy all of these people bread? And Philip looks over the crowd and says, I don't know. 8 months worth of wages wouldn't be enough to buy bread for all of these people. And I think the answer that he gave is why Jesus asked him. Because he didn't want a wrong answer to that question. It's better to have no answer to that question. So he asked the guy who never had an answer, Philip. And then, of course, Jesus fed them. We don't hear from Philip again until just before the cross. And one day during that week ahead of the crucifixion, some non-Jewish proselytes, people who believed in the God of Abraham but were not ethnically part of his children, came to Philip while Jesus was teaching in the temple courtyard and said, we want to talk to him. And Philip did not know what to do. On the one hand, they believe and they're looking for the Messiah, but on the other hand, well, they're not Jews. Despite the fact that Philip had watched Jesus react with Romans and with Syrophoenicians and even with Samaritans. So in his confusion, instead of saying, go away or, yeah, come on, he went and found Andrew and said, what do we do? Andrew, he knew what to do, took him to Jesus. The last time we catch up with Philip, where there's anything in the Bible that describes him, they're gathered around the table. And Jesus is talking very plainly with them. Tomorrow is going to be the toughest day of your lives. I'm going away. But he reassures them by talking about the Holy Spirit that the Father will send. And while he's on the topic, he talks about the Father himself who sent me. It's not the Father that the Pharisees have taught you about, who's looking always for when you're going to mess up, who's looking for an excuse to keep you out of the kingdom. It's the Father who so loved the world, they couldn't let it go, but sent his Son here. And the more he talked about this Father, while the disciples hung on his every word, the more interested Philip, who'd heard these comforting words before, became in the message. And finally, he can't contain himself, and he says, show us the Father. That's all we really need. And you can hear the exasperation in Jesus' voice when he responds. Don't you even know me, Philip? How long have you been with me and still you're saying, where's the Father? Don't you understand? If you know me, you do know the Father. How can you even say that? I mean, if you can't believe the words that I have spoken, can't you believe because of the miracles you've seen? Poor Philip. He never got it, did he? Or he never seemed to anyway. He was the Charlie Brown of the disciples. Always the last in the room to figure it out. In fact, when I read through the Bible, there's really only two smart moments Philip has. I mean, we all can identify, we've all done dumb things, but they're balanced out by the intelligent choices we make in life. I hope they are. I mean, we're all in this room, aren't we? That was an intelligent choice. And that's one of the smart things Philip did. he was there. At every moment when he could have turned around and walked away, because crowds did it over and over, Philip stayed. He found Jesus and followed him. And when Jesus said to him specifically, "Follow me," he dropped it all and followed him. First smart thing he ever did. Second, Philip spent the rest of his life bringing other people to Jesus. I've done some dumb things in my life. But if the only two smart things I ever did was to decide to follow Jesus and tell other people about it, that's all anyone ever needs. Philip was at the table. We are all invited this day to celebrate the thing that Philip found. We found the one that Moses and the prophets have told us about.